From your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web, it's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one, Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 13 years now on the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to this month's Blood and Guts with my excellent friend and co-host, none other than Jack Blood. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning and happy Wednesday to you as we record.
Happy Wednesday for sure. Jack, I see you got a new outlet for your show. Are you over at RBN now?
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned that last month,
and no.
If I even knew that was happening, but
no,
a lot of things changed, so after 9 years, I'm back at RBN, and after, 7 or 8 years, I was allowed back on GCN and did an interview on the Power Hour over there, and
wow.
So I feel like I've gone back in time.
Maybe you're a current time traveler.
Yeah, well, it might just be years of hard work every day, you know, coming back to me, so.
Right. Well, you put in the time, that's for sure. Nobody could say you didn't.
Yeah.
So, Jack, since I talked to you last, we got a whole new war going on. It's an insanity. This is a world of insanity. But you know what? It's kind of interesting because Syria wasn't that number 7 on McChrystal's list of the countries Bush wanted to bomb.
Or Wesley Clark, maybe you mentioned.
Oh, Wesley Clark. I always get those two confused.
Yeah. He's a bastion of truth, old Clark, General Clark. And maybe someday he'll tell us what he did at Waco. That would be nice to know, too. He's not one of my favorite people. But, yeah, and what's interesting about this new war in Syria, if people don't know, we bombed them here yesterday and the day before. We switched sides. So we are bombing the people that we helped to engage in civil war and take down Bashar Assad through regime change. Now we're bombing them in Syria. And I'm not sure if Americans have noticed this. It's as if we, you know, were fighting against Germany and Japan, and then one day we switched and we started bombing England and France. It's really quite amazing from a historical perspective. I can't remember anything like this ever happening before. And the amazing part of it is not only do Americans not notice that we switch sides and don't care, but even people like Sean Hannity were just months ago talking about how the Obama administration, along with McCain and others, were funding and protecting and working with this group called ISIS. That's immediately forgotten, and then they become the new Al-Qaeda, literally within days, and it's never talked about again. And once again, very few people notice.
Oh, well, yeah. I venture to say that most Americans don't even know we're bombing Syria.
Or don't care, because it's Syria, right?
Right, and well, you know, I think Americans have become immune to it. I mean, we've been bombing the Middle East for how many years now?
I think what it really shows us is that the same people are controlling both sides and against both sides. So it's like the industrialist that owns two oil companies that seem to be competing. Or when we began to approve the Federal Reserve Act in 1913, we had the opposame, which was the Aldrich plan. So giving you no choice. It's like choosing between, you know, cousin Mitt Romney and cousin Barry Obama, or, you know, the skull and bones election of 2004 between cousins Bush and Kerry. I think this should really spell that out for people. Same people, both sides. And not only that, there's another aspect to this, and that is we constantly are switching sides from the Shia and the Persians to the Arabs and the Sunnis. And I think, you know, really what's going on here is just to keep that region in such massive chaos that all the energy can be sucked up with a straw.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's so much to look at there. You know, a lot of people are saying we're there for the oil, you know, protecting our oil companies. Then you got the list of seven nations, and let's not leave that one out. And then the Middle East Union, which is still something the One World Order wants in place. So what better way to get all those people in one country like the UK that wouldn't let Scotland out, even if they had a legitimate vote, than to create chaos so that, hey, we'll save you with this Middle East Union.
Yeah, well, and I had Dalia Wasfi on again recently, whose family still lives in Iraq. And when this whole thing with ISIS started, she had been telling me that there was a spontaneous revolution happening in Iraq where the people were rising up to get rid of their puppet government, and that was exactly the time that ISIS came along. And she also said the beheadings were all made up, and a lot of the stuff we were hearing in the news here wasn't actually happening there, that this would further destabilize and cause more chaos to prevent an actual revolution by the people in Iraq. And I thought that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you got to look at these beheadings, okay? First of all, what have they been to date? Maybe three or four, if they were legitimate. And to me, I look at how many hundreds of thousands of people we kill. What's the difference how you kill somebody? And do they just think, oh, if we put this out like a scary Halloween movie, it's going to justify what we're doing?
Well, that's what George Carlin said once, that if you go over there with a gun and you're pointing it at the citizens and you get beheaded, don't be too surprised. And so that would, I guess, go under the column of blowback. And certainly, I guess that's something worth pointing out. But, you know, we have to remember that just as the United Nations and experts realized that the gas attacks in Syria were either didn't happen or didn't happen by Assad's regime, who was cooperating with the United Nations the entire time, they also found world's top respected established experts that those beheadings were fake. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't go on to say, you know, are these people alive? Were they killed afterwards? Did they know that they were going to be beheaded? Because all of the guys that were beheaded, and there's four now that we can keep track of, were on the side and working undercover in some capacity with our guys, being al-Nusra, ISIL, and ISIS in Syria. So these were people who were on their side who might have been playing along for this propaganda to move forward and didn't know they were going to be killed. That doesn't change the fact that the videos themselves were fake.
Right. Well, you know, it was Art Olivier who first took the first video and immediately took it apart. You know, he's the producer of Operation Terror about 9/11. And if you look, you know, they all have the same backdrop, you know, and they're all wearing orange jumpsuits. I didn't know orange jumpsuits were popular in the Middle East.
Yeah, well,
orange is the new black.
Something like that. You know, listen, I truly believe, and I've said this on a few other shows I've been on, Maria, that they don't even care about people like you and me and our listeners, which would make up maybe 15% of people around the world. They really are targeting it to the other, you know, what is it, 85%, to half of which don't even care about any of this. So mm-hmm. They don't care. They're not even trying to hide just how, you know, idiotic all of this is. If they can get, you know, this is world democracy in the New World Order. If they can get 51% of the people to believe it, they're going to get their way. And that's why we've bomb Syria yet again without congressional approval or any threat to our security that's been proven to anyone other than those who own the military and security industrial complex.
Right, and they're making plenty of money. And I had an article about these talking heads on TV, these retired generals, et cetera, you know, rah-rah, sis, boom, bar on the war, saying how they're all tied into the military-industrial complex on the profit machine side. So for them, you know, war is profit. And this is what you see on TV. Although the good news is, even some of my regular friends who don't even want to talk about politics don't believe TV news anymore.
Okay, well, who is Syria attacked? Who has Iran attacked? You know, I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous, and I'm sure when we get through all of this, North Korea will be threatening us again, you see? So it's the old Goldstein angle, and Oceania is always at war with Eurasia. This is the completion of the Project for New American Century. It's in its final stages, and it was great that the world stopped the war against the state of Syria. So that's why, again, I guess they switched sides. Easier to sell going after Al-Qaeda again and bin Laden again. People just, they don't really understand, so they just let them do it. It's absolutely amazing, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I notice now they have another new terrorist group that supposedly sprang up there. I can't even pronounce it yet, but I remembered it started with a K, and I'm like, wow, they must like stay up late at night trying to make up new names for terrorist groups.
It's the Kardashians, yeah.
The Kardashians, that's a good way to say it. It'll probably make it easier for me.
Well, it sounds like it. It's spelled like it. It's the Karassans.
Oh, Karassans. Well, at least the word ass is in it.
Yeah.
So I could see the Kardashian connection. Oh, I can't believe I actually said that. Gee, I hope I didn't sound too bitchy. Well, you know what?
And Al-Qaeda. We're allegedly back at war with Al-Qaeda, which is, amazing. If you listen to Abu Bakr, and he's actually been endorsed by, some of the top so-called go-get-all-the-terrorist people out there. A few of them I've even had on my show. And he's a whistleblower. And he had worked in training camps in Jordan where this whole thing started. And as he says, they're not in the habit of putting up camps for charity. This was a global operation. But I'm sorry, not Abu Bakr. I mean, Sheikh Naeem, saying that Abu Bakr, the head of ISIS, and a lot of the ISIS people have been trained by the Mossad, and that's been confirmed on multiple fronts. He also, Sheikh Naeem, also, this jihadist expert, right, says that people laugh at Alawiki and the people that, supposedly control this Al-Qaeda, that Al-Qaeda is finished, that they haven't been around for years, and that's old news. And so for anyone in the news or anyone in the political hierarchy to say that we're fighting Al-Qaeda, it's just a total cartoon is what it is.
Total cartoon is a good way to put it. You know, I don't know if you watch any TV shows, but I watch on Hulu the show with James Spader called The Blacklist.
Yep, seen it.
And did you see the first episode of the new season?
No, I have not.
Well, what was interesting is they actually openly, I gotta like that show because they do show a lot of truth in it. And I wonder, do the rest of the people watching the show get the same thing out of it that I do? But last night, I don't want to ruin the show for you, but he openly gets kidnapped by the Mossad. And here he is talking about the Mossad, to his kidnappers. And I was like, wow. And then, of course, they show the collusion between all our Secret Service type people and the Mossad. And I'll leave it go at that. But what's interesting to me is you're starting to hear little snippets of truth on a lot of different new shows. And, for me, it's like, well, how long is this show going to last? You know what I mean?
Well, let me go back and throw a few more things into this beheading an ISIS thing, if I could.
Sure.
First of all, Uzi Arad is, I don't know if you know who he is, but he is the doc, they call him the Dr. Strangelove of Israel, literally equating him to really Henry Kissinger, who Peter Sellers was playing in Dr. Strangelove, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he is the highest ranking Mossad guy there. He is the right hand man to Bibi Netanyahu, and he was banned from this country, I think even during the Bush administration, but he's been given full access again, and he's meeting with all of our officials. This guy has a personal Facebook page, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of my friends who are former intelligence people found this personal Facebook page of Uzi Arad, the Dr. Strangelove, okay, Henry Kissinger of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, one of his secret friends, you have to type it in just the right way to see it, was none other than Stephen Sotloff, the second of the beheading guys, who was just supposed to be a journalist. And here he is, friends in a personal backdoor nature with the one and only Uzi Arad. That I thought was highly suspicious, and we're still trying to get Mr. Arad on the phone to ask him why that is. Not the easiest thing to get past his gatekeepers. And then going back to Sheikh Naeem, you know, not only did he say Abu Bakar and all these guys have been trained by the Mossad, and that, you know, that the camps, the terrorist camps, have been funded by NATO and by the United States, and he's taken very seriously by a lot of people. He also said that the ISIS wounded, the injured, have not been taken to Lebanon, have not been taken to Saudi Arabia or to Egypt. They go to Israel. And the last check was 1,500 ISIS and al-Nusra were in Tel Aviv hospitals. I mean, does that say anything to anyone, Maria? Because it does. It talks to me.
It talks to me, too. Well, you know, when ISIS was first uncovered, and I don't remember who it was, I did read an article saying that there is an ISIS out of the Ronald Reagan building in Washington, D.C., which is a private contractor kind of military organization here in the U.S. But then there was also an article on ISIS being Israeli secret intelligence service. And I had posted that. But you know what? People still don't want to see it. You could slap them across the face and they still don't want to see it.
Right. Well, listen, the goddess worship of Egyptian, goddess theology or whatever it is, has been used by our elites for a very long time. If you look on top of your Capitol buildings, you'll see what can be described interchangeably as Minerva, which is also worshipped at the Bohemian Grove, as we know. Mm-hmm. Or they also call her Diana, and they also call her ISIS, and they also even call her Liberty, and this is our Statue of Liberty. So it's very interesting choice of a name, in the same way that Al-Qaeda actually meant the toilet in some dialects. It probably didn't name themselves that either. So, you know, I think this stuff is all black and white, very easy for people to understand, but after, what, 20 years of this, people, they just turned off. They just don't even want to know about it anymore. I mean, we literally have pictures of John McCain posing with and having meetings with this so-called ISIS.
Oh, yeah, I've
seen people have seen that, and they still can't make the connection, really, or don't care.
Well, maybe I go with the latter of that, the don't care. But, you know, we need to care. You know, what happened, you know, what several months ago when we wanted to invade Syria, it was Putin that put the squash on that. So, to me, it just looks like we went around the back door to do it anyway.
Right, and they're at our border, you understand. They're coming across the border and leaving their calling cards, because that's how stupid they are.
Right.
And we can't monitor the border, because we don't have any kind of monitoring equipment whatsoever. And, I mean, so when they, if and when, I guess, we're hit by these mortal enemies, ISIS, that we created, I hope people care at that point. Or if they don't care about the poor Syrian people who have just been under massive attack by this self-proclaimed civil war all these years now, maybe they'll care about how much money it costs when they can't go get something that they want, you understand? So
right.
I know that getting fluoride out of the water in Dallas, you know, started with them making the case that it costs $2 million a year and they don't have the money. So maybe that's what people will understand.
Well, I mean, you know, how much more can we break the bank, let alone the money we give Israel every day? And isn't it interesting how this Syrian war has taken the heat off, you know, the United States looking to press against Russia in the Ukraine. Here we were telling them what they could and couldn't do in the Ukraine. And we still go out just like George W., the idiot king, and just bomb whoever we want, willy-nilly. Doesn't matter if the UN's behind it, if Congress votes on it, we just do it. Because I think Obama is totally lost at sea. He hasn't got a clue about what, you know, what real military or diplomatic action is. And I guess in between golf games, he just tells, you know, his generals, well, go try this or try that.
Well, no, he doesn't say anything. He's completely out of the loop. He never really was in the loop. And I think he's just gotten tired of even trying. So he has acquiesced to the fact that his presidency has been completely hijacked, and he's got that same 50-yard Prozac stare that Bush had in the last year or two that looks very familiar to me. And you remember when when Bush was in his last year or two, you and I were talking about, well, they might just get rid of him because he's worth more as a martyr. Mm-hmm. And then we had the story of not one but two guys going into the White House here this weekend, on Friday, I guess it was, going, jumping the fence, the front door's unlocked.
Right.
So it looked almost like the perfect, you know, yeah, Ferdinand JFK stand down, but Obama wasn't there. So I don't know if that was a shot across his bow to just keep playing golf and cutting ribbons and doing campaign speeches and STFU, as we say, or if they just were so discombobulated that they couldn't coordinate it to go get him. If I were Obama, I'd watch his back. We don't need a martyr right now.
Well, obviously, the Secret Service doesn't give a crap about him. You know, when we think about all the spying that's being done on everybody in this country, every living, breathing thing, and between the NSA, Israel, and everybody else that has open season to anything of ours, how does this guy get into the presidential suite? He gets into where they live. Where in the hell was the Secret Service, and did anybody get fired?
No, well, listen, those guys, I don't think, even got fired for the hooker. You know, how do you make a hormone? You don't pay her? Well, they didn't pay the hookers in Colombia when they were down there, and the hookers went and started moaning and crying, and they got caught. The same thing happened in Europe also. So there's nobody really watching these guys, and they have this kind of hubris. The other angle to this is that it continually reinforces this falsity, this canard, right, this mendacity that the U.S. government is so incompetent that they can't even protect themselves at Fort Hood or at the White House. Now, while I agree that there is no such thing as security and we shouldn't give up our liberties for protection when they can't protect themselves, I also don't believe they're this incompetent. And a lot of people will say, well, when it's not a conspiracy, it's just incompetence. 9/11 was just incompetence.
Right.
There was no conspiracy there. Right. So this kind of, to that group of people, they see something like this White House intruder walking through an open front door, and they think, okay, well, there are no conspiracies because these people don't even know how to, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. But we saw the stand down in JFK, Ferdinand, which started the First World War, Archduke Ferdinand, who they took him into a blind alley. His drivers and his security stood back while a guy shot him. You know what I'm saying? So that is a major part of any false flag, is a stand down, and that's exactly what I think happened at the White House. But for the rest of the people, it just looks like incompetence as usual.
Right, right. And the guy supposedly had all kinds of weaponry in his car and was stopped and interrogated twice by the Secret Service prior to this break-in.
Yeah, yeah, and where's the proof of that? It's like Adam Lanza. We kept hearing what he had in his car, and we never really had any evidence of that whatsoever. You remember the woman here about a year and a half ago that took a wrong turn in Washington,
right,
D.C.? She was immediately set upon by security and gunned down with her three-year-old in the back seat.
I remember that.
So they were on their toes then, but not now.
Well, I guess a woman with a child is more of a threat than a man with an arsenal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I saw that story, I thought about Abraham Bolden, who was that first black Secret Serviceman that Kennedy had put in place. And when he started exposing how the other Secret Service said they were not going to protect Kennedy, they didn't like him, especially because he was Catholic, and of course Bolden was treated like crap because he was black, they locked him up until well after the assassination.
They also pulled the head of Secret Service who, though he didn't like Kennedy, was very serious about his job and put a new guy in for the Dallas run, which a lot of people were surprised about, and I think we know, you know, kind of how that happened. I just also wanted to throw this thing. You remember, again, the end of the Bush administration, somebody crashed a plane into the White House. And was it about a year or two ago that Queen Lizard, who might be, you know, trying to pad her legacy, doing some things that the corporate chieftains aren't super happy about, was also threatened at Buckingham Palace? So I'm not sure if these aren't kind of shots over the bow or a reminder of who these people are while they're getting a little big for their britches and maybe trying to look out for their historical legacies.
Mm. Well, that's for sure, you know. And, you know, let's take a look at the queen reptile. Let's jump across the pond. You know, I have to tell you that when I saw the vote on Scotland, and oh, it was close, but they lost. My first thought was, did they really think the City of London was going to release them from being ruled by the royal bloodline?
The City of London has no choice, and this is just the first shot. It was interesting. I have listeners in Scotland, and they were calling into the show telling us what was going on over there. And, you know, when they started fixing the exit polls, and when they came out and said there isn't going to be a recount no matter what, we knew that the fix was in, and it was just within that margin, because it's a 10-point margin of victory for the Royalists, the UK. But you only have to take 5 of those points, technically. So it's within the margin of fixing the votes. And listen, you can fix them electronically or you can do it old school, like they did with Kennedy and Nixon in Chicago. I mean, they've still been doing that. So the people are not quiet. They're not going quietly. However, there are a lot of people who enjoy the protection and the benefits, allegedly, of being part of the United Kingdom. So you can't forget about that. There are people who just like things the way they are, and unfortunately, they made it possible for this election to get stolen. But Caledonia, other countries are trying to secede from Spain. I mean, this is something that is really happening, and even the New York Times was speculating that the elites are losing their grip, and I happen to agree with that.
Good. I like it. I also read that several states in the United States want to secede from the federal government.
I think the federal government, I think the United States should secede from both Britain and the City of London, the Virginia Company as we call them, not to mention the Rothschild and Rockefeller oligarchs and the Federal Reserve. So let's start there.
Right. Well, I don't know if you saw it. It was a very small article that almost blew past the whole world that I guess the heirs of the Rockefeller oil barons have decided to divest themselves from any oil interest.
Yeah, well, that's BS, but they don't have anything to do with it. This is completely on autopilot through the Rockefeller Foundations and the tax-exempt organizations. But would it even matter? You know, back in the 1900s, the Morgans and the Rockefellers and others diversified their interests from oil into banking and other things, airplanes, the pharmaceutical industry, the whole entire health care industry. So do they really even need the oil? It might be more of a headache than it's worth, quite frankly. But the heirs to the Rockefeller Foundation, give me a break. I mean, they're just all fools. They don't control anything. They're like Obama. They're not really the president of anything.
Obama's been getting his ass slapped for quite a few different things, especially when he saluted the Marines with a cup of coffee in his hand. I guess he saluted with the coffee cup hand.
So, you know, I just interviewed a guitar player out of Seattle who's really responsible for the kind of music we listen to today, and guy has the neurological disease, which I think is from the poisons, and he's just, you know, getting on with his life. No one even knows who he is. He doesn't make any money, and he's an Obama supporter, and he just admitted, I'm cutting the guy a lot of slack. I'm a Democrat. I'm an Obama supporter, which basically just means he's anti-Republican, and I just have to give the guy some slack, and I think a lot of people do that to their favorite guy. It's the same way that conservatives tried to give Bush, cut him some slack in the last thing. And I keep asking these people, I'm thinking, well, you know, are you aware that we're going to have a Republican here in about 2 years, and he's going to have the drones, the power, he's going to be able to go, hey, Obama, you know, went to war without Congress, he's going to have all these same powers that allegedly Obama has, which again doesn't, and none of the Democrats seem to care about that. I guess they're going to cross that bridge when they come to it. But you see, this kind of hypocrisy comes back to bite you in the ass.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting because I just got the voting booklet here in Arizona where you have to vote in November on 3 separate propositions. And maybe I'm one of the rare people that actually reads the whole booklet. But one of the propositions basically is against the federal government, that they don't want to enact any laws the federal government puts together that goes against the Constitution, and they want to stay a constitutional state.
Well, we already have the Ninth and Tenth Amendments, so I don't know how many more things like that that we need. Listen, 1 in 4 people are considering secession as a state, and if we can just, you know, reaffirm our 9th and 10th Amendments, Maria, then we can get on with this lively experiment, as our founders called it. And if people want to experiment with that in Arizona or in Washington State or here in Georgia, then they should. And if they fail, they fail. We learn something. If they succeed, then it can be a model for everybody to emulate.
Mm-hmm. Jack, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, since we already skipped across the pond, I want to go down under for a story that I can't even believe. So stay with us, Jack, and I'll be right back.
I'm sure you're enjoying the information you're hearing on this episode of The Maria Heller Show, heard internationally at maria.net. Did you know that Maria does 4 shows a week and has over 1,000 hours of excellent informative shows on her site? Maria's been at this for years, and you get the benefit of the best education anywhere for a subscription of choice. Your subscription gives you total access to the entire site, the archives, and the new shows, all without any commercial interruptions, thanks to the show being supported by those who appreciate the truth. The site's available 24/7, and all the shows are downloadable for your favorite device. Enjoy the second half of this show, and then come over to maria.net, that's M-E-R-I-A.net, and pick a subscription of your choice. It's a win-win for all of us. Now back to this excellent show.
Okay, welcome back to Blood and Guts with myself and my co-host Jack Blood. Check out Jack's work and his show at deadlinelive.info. Jack, before the break, I mean, I'm watching the world, and the world is seems to be moving rapidly into this one world police state. When I see what's going on in Australia, and I'm like, okay, as far as I know, Australia's never been attacked, not even a real decent false flag. And all of a sudden, I mean, they've got a police state that even the UK must be jealous of. What's happening?
Right. Well, speaking of secession, you know, they might want to secede from the Commonwealth, but okay. Yeah, the beheadings, of course, gave them, their leadership, the excuse to go house to house looking for terror suspects who had predicted some kind of an Australian beheading. It literally replicated what happened in Boston on even a bigger scale. I'm speaking of after the Boston Marathon bombings, when we had total martial law in Boston and people were being pulled out of their houses. And so that was the first salvo. And then they have enacted a Patriot Act that almost makes ours look like child's play. Suspects can now be held in secret preventative detention. This is like our NDAA that we passed here a few years ago that still hasn't been repealed. 5 years in jail if suspects are can be held without charge, no trial, no charge, like we do with Gitmo. 5 years, these are citizens, 5 years in jail for a relative of the person held in custody. If the relative finds out and tells someone else, that replicates our Patriot Act.
Right.
They can get you, they can take you, no trial, they can hold you as long as they want. You can't tell anyone, even a lawyer. Contact between lawyers and suspects are monitored by the police, so there goes that right if there ever was one. House arrest for suspicious persons for up to 1 year. Electronic tagging of suspects. New laws of sedition, 7 years in jail for encouraging the overthrow of the government. That means you and I, we're in jail for 7 years.
Right.
Encouraging someone to fight for the enemy, whatever they deem the enemy, and promoting feelings of ill will or hostility between different groups that would threaten peace, quote unquote. All of that, of course, very loosely worded so it can be applied to just about anybody.
Right. Well, sort of like the war on terror. You know, it was never described to us what terrorism was, and look at how many Americans disappeared. You know, I think about the Muslim Roundup by Ashcroft right after 9/11. And you look at this and I'm like, but what's this got to do with Australia? What happened there? You know, it's like we were the ones that supposedly were hit on 9/11, and the rest of the world paid the price by losing their freedom. And it's like, what in the hell is this? So you people down under, you know, are you just sitting back and taking this? You know, when you read that off, and I thought of 7 years in jail for sedition, well, that means all our founding fathers probably would have been hung. Okay. So people have to either step out of fear and say, we're going to take a stand. There's more of us than there are of them. Or we're just in a total worse than Orwell and Brave New World state.
Yeah, I think that this is part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership that they're still fast-tracking in. You know, Australia would be part of that, which would at least figuratively put us in the same country as them. So they're told to do it, and they do it. And if they can get away with it, all the better. I'm sure there'll be some kind of a backlash on this, and we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I guess it's nice to know that we're not the only ones who live in a police state. If you want company, you got it.
Well, their goal was to make this worldwide, but when we talked about a one-world disorder, nobody wanted to hear it because we were conspiracy freaks.
Oh, no, we've been vindicated on that. Though, since we're still ahead of our time, we're still conspiracy freaks. And then we'll be vindicated on all of this in a few years, and then we'll be called conspiracy freaks because, you know what, we don't just stop and wait for everyone to catch up to us. We just keep going, Maria. And so I'll live with that. But I also will point to my track record if anybody wants to really get serious about these names that they're calling us, because I've been right a good majority of the time.
Exactly, and it's not like we want to be right. Let's not leave that out, you know. But
no,
you know.
I'm not making it up. I mean, we're looking at documents and talking to people in the know, so it's not baseless theories. It's
right.
Kind of rooted in fact, and that's why we have a good track record. So I don't know. You know how that works.
It's right.
Keeps the people from listening to us and from taking us seriously, and that's how it goes, you know?
Well, you know, nobody cares until it happens to them. When you look at what happened in Australia, I mean, that was hundreds of people simultaneously getting no-knock raids in the middle of the night. And you look at the no-knock raids here in the United States. Now, Jack, I have to tell you, if somebody's breaking into your house in the middle of the night, whether or not they have a cop uniform on, it's the middle of the night and somebody's breaking in your house. If you have a weapon, you have every right in the world to use that weapon, because my sense is they're going to kill you no matter what. You know, I think of all the grandmas they're killing, and, you know, children they're killing, and dogs they're killing. I mean, what in the hell?
Well, look it up. Indiana passed a law that you can do just that. If somebody's breaking your door down and you shoot them and they happen to be police, you're clear.
Yeah, but that's one state. You know what I'm saying?
And, yeah. Well, again, I mean, we have to do this for ourselves.
And whether as a homeowner or not are licensed or whatever, or you have a gun in the house, is no right for them to shoot to kill you, because we still have the right to defend our property. I don't know anybody that would wake up in the middle of the night because people are barging through to say, excuse me, can I see your badge?
Yeah, they don't come in the middle of the night. Listen, I just want to be clear on that so people know when they're going to come.
Right.
They come first thing in the morning, like at about 5 in the morning is the best time for them to come, while people who stay up late have already, you know, passed out. So look for that one. We have Operation Falcon here in the United States of America, where they use JTTF, that's all the different law enforcement working together to do raids, and sometimes in several states all at once, hauling in thousands of people on warrants.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been practicing for this over here, and it's definitely something we should be monitoring, just to put it lightly.
Absolutely. You know, it reminds me of one of my guests said, you know, when they come for your guns, that's the time to use them. And, you know, look at this, and I'm reading these stories, and I'm sure you see a lot of my posts, especially on social media. Grandmother's getting killed because they had a no-knock raid. They burst into her house. She goes to reach over for the baby in the crib, and they shoot her. Okay? I mean, these guys are on, like, hairline triggers, and they've got to be on some kind of psychotropic drugs to even act the way that they do. And they're killing, you know, 107-year-old men in, you know, in wheelchairs. I mean, throwing pregnant women down to the ground and, you know, and by the New York cops. You know, I had that story this morning. I mean, at what point does this end? I think one of the only good things that could come out of Ferguson is that at least they made people aware of the militarized police state throughout the country.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth. And that's why, you know, peaceful protests can actually work, despite what people think. And I know that it wasn't all peaceful. We know in Ferguson that there were provocateurs all over the place, including these new Black Panthers who, since I know the old Black Panthers, have nothing to do with the Black Panthers, and we're working with the police to encourage people to attack the police. So that was the black mark, and that came from provocateurs. So, but yeah, you're exactly right on that, and of course that all faded away under the cloud of all the new today's news, and that's not something I'm going to forget here. The new thing is, and before we get done, maybe we can talk about that everyone's going to die from Ebola or from mystery illnesses, and we've been talking about this for quite a while as well. So when you can't go in and bomb and take Africa's resources or back off the Chinese, you know, with official policy in Africa, well, all of a sudden there's mass Ebola and millions of people are going to die. And it's a very interesting problem because every other pandemic just didn't exist. It was completely made up, including Rumsfeld's Tamiflu solution for the bird flu, right? Which they're still spraying into children's noses all over the place. Or, hey, it's time to flush the toilet and just get rid of everybody. And I think a lot of people are very concerned that this could be an actually weaponized version, laboratory weaponized version of Ebola. I'm actually not one of those people. I'm going with the what comes first, the vaccine or the Ebola. You know, we've got a couple of stories. One, in the United States, we have a mystery illness, right, that's getting everybody and not tied to Ebola.
The children.
And if we look here at what's going on, for instance, in Colombia, a mystery illness was plaguing girls. That was traced to a vaccine. In fact, it was traced to Gardasil. The government was vaccinating little girls with Gardasil, and they were getting sick and passing out. The authorities there blamed it on some kind of mass hypnosis or hysteria to avoid the problem. This is the same Gardasil that we got banned in because they were going to give it to every girl in Texas, and Perry was going to push that through, and we stopped it. Thank you very much. Hello. See, activism does work. In another story, 36 children dead after being injected with a UN-supplied tainted measles vaccine in rebel-held Syria North. There you go. And, of course, we have the initial outbreak of Ebola in places like Guinea in Africa, where people were attacking the vaccinators, which come right from Doctors Without Borders. That's a Rockefeller-founded institution by Richard Rockefeller, who, by the way, died just as all of this was happening on his father's birthday in a plane crash. Maybe he objected to this happening after he found out. So I got a couple of things on my website, the Ebola Scam Redux, What You Should Know Before Crawling Into a Hole. How likely is it that an Ebola virus can go airborne? Also, the problem reaction solution, that is the quarantining of places like Sierra Leone, where most of the diamonds have been found. Not to mention the fast-tracked vaccines that have been coming out by every major company. And the truth behind these troubling outbreaks is wherever there's an outbreak in Africa, there's oil and resources.
Absolutely.
So, I'm going to leave it there and let you people do your homework.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the big vaccine makers just happens to be an Israeli company. What a surprise.
Yeah, well, they're going to make billions off of this. So,
but you
it's
know, this
benefit analysis is mainly control. So the easy equation here for people who love math like I do: oil equals Ebola equals no people equals freeing up the land. Ebola equals total control. And I'll add in one other: Ebola equals trouble for China in Africa, who have been working diligently for their share of the oil. In fact, the proxy economic war with China can be blamed on Libya, the Libya attack. It can also be blamed on Iraq, Afghanistan, potentially Syria, the conflicts with Russia, and certainly all the problems that we see in Africa. And that's something that you can read about in a book called The Oil Card by Jim Norman. Really an eye-opener when you see that so much of our resources and so much of our foreign policy and policy in general are directed at keeping China away from these resources.
and yet we still hand them all our money every day and buy all our crap from them. So it's just, it's such an insane world, you know. When I look at what's happening in Africa, you know, I got to go back to a show I did 15 years ago, Jack, with the author of a book called The World is a Ghetto. And it's really the history of the war against dark races from the beginning of time. And I often think about that when you look at this Ebola. Oh, all of a sudden it's in, you know, dark countries, okay, where the people are dark skinned. And then you get 2-3 white American doctors, all of a sudden they have a cure to cure them. And then this morning, one of the big headlines in the news was that the suppliers of the vaccine for Ebola are all out worldwide. Like, they've already used up the whole supply.
Yeah. Well, okay, there you go. And, you know, the Indians probably shouldn't have taken those blankets, and we traced that to smallpox, and now we all know that that's true. It's a historical record.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Tuskegee experiments on African-American military personnel. We've got the Shad experiments and everything that goes on at Fort Detrick in one of the, you know, 1,200 biological weapons labs across the United States of America, including, you know, tests on people in mental institutions and prisons and everything else. If you think that people wouldn't do this to human beings, then you just don't know your history.
But it's not just that. You know, the average person is not a sociopath, so they don't understand the way a sociopath's mind works. So they thus believe no one would ever do that to another living being. So, you know, I often refer people. Actually, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and I said, look, what you need to do is go online and you need to Google the definition of a sociopath. Because until you understand what is a sociopath, you're not going to understand why you can't understand people like that. You know, normal brains don't function that way. I think you have to be a sociopath just to pass a police test in this country these days.
Right. Well, okay. Look, you have to just really come to terms with the fact that there are evil people in this world. These people go to sleep at night thinking that their evilness is actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the urge to save the world is almost always a false front to control it. I think that would be H.L. Mencken's quote. Okay, so that's all being true. I've seen that sociopath or psychopath test. And anyone from Ireland would fit that. Okay? They're glib. They are good with people. You know, I mean, we have that stuff, and I'm totally one of them, I guess. But that's very Irish thing, so to speak. And it also kind of gives a pass and an excuse. I'm just going to be critical of that for a moment, because what they're really saying, and I've watched documentaries about this, et cetera, is that a psychopath can't be really truly held responsible, because it is something that is genetic in their brain. And this also provides the solution of going into people's brains and altering their brains and their DNA, right, so that we don't have these people anymore. These, of course, are the psychopaths saying this. So, yeah, but you hit the nail on the head. We are good people, and it's very difficult for us to get outside ourselves and realize that people are truly, truly, truly evil. And this is especially true with the bourgeois. They just haven't been around it. I've been on the streets. I've seen evil face to face, and it does exist. So, you know, while we need to have empathy for other people, we need to realize that some of these other guys don't have that capability. And again, it's just history. Would we ever be involved in a false flag? Well, yes, of course. It's been admitted throughout history that we have. So at that point, you know, you have to go, okay, that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, another thing I wanted to mention, I'm sure you've seen it, that Israel supposedly shot down a plane that was coming into its airspace from Syria. You got France now bombing Iraq. You know, I look at the world and I say, it already looks like World War III has started, but nobody knows it.
It's either the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning. And when you see these big moves being made that really betrays the kind of Fabian socialist movement of incrementalism, you know that they're getting desperate and feel like they're running out of time. You know, I've had a lot of people tell me that the reason that Henry Kissinger and Scowcroft and Brzezinski and these people are still, you know, top policy advisors is because their own educational system and their own cultural engineering has not set the stage for anyone smart to come up and take their place. So these old guys, I'll tell you what, they are, they want to see this stuff happen in their lifetimes. That Rockefeller just turned 91, David Rockefeller. They want to see this stuff happen, and they're getting worried that their game is just about up and that the people are moving against them. So they have to make these drastic moves. I don't think it's World War III. I think a lot of this is just to scare us and to take more of our money. I hate to downplay World War III when it's so exciting, but there I am.
Right. Well, hey, I don't care to see a world war, period, end of sentence. But I got to tell you, Jack, in my whole life, I don't remember any time where we weren't at war with somebody. You know?
Well, that's true.
I mean, maybe when I was one or two, because I was born, you know, after World War II, maybe there was a year or two of peace. I wouldn't remember it. I was just a baby.
No, we immediately went to Korea.
Oh, well, there you go. You know, and, you know, it's like from Vietnam on, have we even won a war? That's the other thing.
And then
we don't win and we don't care.
Iran and overthrew Mossadegh, and we did everything in Central and South America. We have been in a state of perpetual war since the founding of this country, pretty much. There might have been one or two years before the War of 1812, and that's it. That's it. So, but does that mean World War III? I don't know. You know, the Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is a former deputy director of the Treasury, and he's quite a whistleblower now. He's a 9/11 truther, right?
Yeah.
Worked under Reagan, and they call him the founder of Reaganomics, which isn't something I'm praise him about too much. But he's a great guy. I don't know if you ever had him on your show.
I had him on the show many times.
Yeah, and he claims that there are people in Washington, the crazies in the basement, as they call them, who believe they can get away with a decapitating first strike on Russia, and they've been pushing for it. So you can't take that stuff lightly, you know?
No, you can't. You can't. And, you know, with this mystery disease that's sending children to the hospital, you know, which you talked about a little earlier, I just wanted to mention, nobody's connecting it to the plutonium in the air in New Mexico from the leaking, even though shut down, WIP nuclear plant there. And then you look at Fukushima, you know, which is already a nuclear war. We're all dying from radiation from Fukushima. Nobody even talks about it, Jack.
I know. Well, did they talk about it with the mass, quote-unquote, global warming Occupy Wall Street protest here this weekend? Did that ever come up?
No.
Not really. You know, so you want to stop pollution, you want to stop the toxic waste all over the place, and you better start talking about it would be the thing to do. So, you know, while a lot of people made fun of the tree huggers and whatnot in the 70s, you know, at least they had the right idea. Anti-nukes is very important, and it's worse than even you say. Watch a film, if I haven't plugged this already on your show, called Atomic States of America. It's frightening. I mean, the reality and the factual basis of what we're really up against is frightening, and that's why I don't focus a lot of time on Fukushima myself, because we got our own problems here.
Right. Where can they see that film? Is it on YouTube? Is it, you know?
Yeah, it's on Netflix, and I think you can probably find it on YouTube. Atomic States of America.
Oh, Atomic. Atomic. I'm going to check that out. So I'll check it out.
Yeah, it gives you the basis of this, that entire towns came down with cancer due to these nuclear labs that are everywhere and supposed to be so benign.
Oh, yeah. Hanford's the worst.
They have no place to put the nuclear turds, as they call them. That's the nuclear waste coming out of all these nuclear reactors. And the one good thing about Fukushima is it stopped. They had just gotten funding for six new reactors at $6 billion apiece, and it stopped it. So, but the global warmers now, what do they want? They want more nuclear. So,
I know. Europe. Listen, when I was, you know, in the environmental movement in those years, Jack, and they were talking about environmentalists saying nuclear energy was clean energy, and I was like, where are they going to put the waste? And nobody wanted to address that. I dropped out of a lot of environmental groups and gave up subscriptions to their magazines because of their position, not just on, you know, nuclear energy and waste, but also don't say you're an environmentalist and you've got, you know, recipes in there for chicken and meat, okay? Raising food the way we're raising animals in this country is killing the environment. Nobody on Wall Street in that march behind Al Gore and Bill de Blasio was talking about that either.
No, and they weren't talking about weather modification and geoengineering, right. And they refused to even talk about those things. You know, the same thing happened to the environmental movement as happened to Occupy Wall Street and to the Tea Party. They got hijacked, and the environmental, global environmental movement got hijacked by the Windsor family, in particular Prince Philip, the Queen's husband, who wrote in his book, If I Were an Animal, that he wanted to come back as a deadly disease and kill off like 70% to 80% of the planet to save
nice
us.
People.
So again, we're talking about psychopaths.
Right.
And Joan Vian, may she rest in peace, really an amazing investigative reporter, wrote a book called The Sustainable Prince, talking about Prince Charles and how these guys founded the World Wildlife Fund and the Sierra Club and all the rest of it. So, you know, you people out there who care about the planet, you need to realize where the policy comes from now and these solutions that you yourself are out advocating.
Look, just the fact that that protest got so much coverage tells you who's behind it. And that's the way I look at it. So
yeah,
to me, it was
I tend to agree with you there.
Yeah, it was like people dancing behind the Pied Piper and they didn't even know it.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm skeptical about Edward Snowden and WikiLeaks. So there
All
you
right.
go.
All right. Well, Jack, thanks so much for joining me. I know you got your own show to do coming up soon. How can people listen to it?
DeadlineLive.info. And actually, you can go listen at Radio Free Blood live, RadioFreeBlood.com. It's our new website, and it's about 90% done, but we have it up. What a blast. We covered a ton of information today.
I
hope it helps people.
Absolutely. Well, take good care, Jack. I'll talk to you soon.
Stay bold. Love you, Maria.
Love you, too. Bye. Jack Blood, check him out at deadlinelive.info. Tomorrow I'll be back with all the news, and there's already tons of it. A lot of fill-ins on some of the stories I mentioned today. And again, thanks for supporting the show, okay? This show has been here now 15 years, and I intend to stay here through whatever the hell is coming down the road. So I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.